Amen. Good morning. It is so good to be with you today. My name is Mike. If you don't know me, I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm just thrilled that you chose to gather for worship with us today. I wonder, have you ever found yourself stuck in worry? Probably have. Most of us have. Something happens, someone says something, and all of a sudden you're stewing. You're worrying, you're replaying the event or the conversation over and over in your mind again. Have you ever thought, why do we do this? Why do we do it? I think a lot of it has to do with uncertainty. But usually it's not just about not knowing something. We actually stew and we worry because we don't know something that directly affects us. It has a direct effect on us. And ultimately, we want to be cared for. We want to be cared for, and often our worry is a result of not knowing whether we'll be cared for, how we're going to be cared for. And that's why we worry, and that's why we have fears, and that's why the anxiety creeps up in our hearts and minds. For example, let me give you a somewhat lighthearted example. I know you guys might think I'm a little crazy after I share this, so I'm kind of putting myself out there. But I have a spot in our refrigerator at home marked Dad's food. I knew you'd laugh. But the growing teenage boys that live in my house, guys, they eat. They eat a lot. People told me how much teenagers eat, and I didn't believe it until I saw it. Now, the fridge, it can be full one day. We can do grocery shopping and fill the fridge to the brim where it barely even closes. And like 2 days later, it's empty, literally empty. And so I love to take sandwiches to work. It's been my thing for years and years. And so I've got the good old Wisconsin cheese and the meat and the mayo in my little drawer in the refrigerator. And I've learned that if I forget to put it in my drawer, I don't have that drawer. It's very common for me to open up the refrigerator and try to make a sandwich, and absolutely nothing is in there. I'll wake up in the morning, and I've got to go. And so I've realized that expectations are directly related to care. Hold on to that. Expectations are directly related to care. And so if I'd open up the refrigerator one day expecting to make a sandwich, might be frustration, there might be anger, there might be disappointment, whatever the emotion is, but it's actually rooted in a lack of care because I'd consistently not have what I'd feel like I need. And so just to give you perspective here, it's not just Dad. Sarah and I, we've resorted to getting a loaf of bread for each kid each week, and we put their name on it. And if we get it Sunday and it's gone by Monday, too bad. Like, that's just how it goes. Let me share another example with you. This is a little bit more different tone to it. When our second oldest son, Reuben, he was 4 years old, I've shared this with some of you before, he had a febrile seizure. I was resting in the other room of our house. We were in Findlay, Ohio, and Isaac was 6 years old at the time, and he runs into the room where I'm resting, and he says, "Dad, Mom needs you now. Reuben needs help." And so I hop up, I run into the other room, and Sarah's sitting on the couch there, and she's holding our 4-year-old Reuben in her arms. He's unconscious. He's turning purple because he's not breathing, literally purple. And I grab the phone. I've never had to call 911 before, and I call 911. And Sarah just begins to pray as I'm on the phone, 911. And she says, "God, please save Reuben. Yet if it's your will that he goes to be with you now, so be it." And I just start crying while I'm on the phone. And Sarah concluded her prayer. And at that point in time, Reuben he took a deep breath. You could hear it. And he choked on his saliva. And he starts coughing. And we all cheered. And we thanked God. And we cried. And we rejoiced all at the same time. Now, we lived in town at the time. And it still took the ambulance about 10 minutes to get to our house. And it seemed like forever. They ended up taking him to the hospital to check him out, but he was okay. But what was going on in my heart at the time is I was worried. I was afraid. I didn't know if Reuben was going to be cared for in the way I wanted him to be cared for. I didn't know if I would be cared for. I didn't know if our family would be cared for. And in that moment, it was personal, it was painful, it was uncertain. Guys, a week and a half ago, Sarah, our three younger boys, and I, we were out of town. We were about 8 hours away. We get this call. It was Wednesday night from our oldest son, Isaac, who's been at the Trailhead program at Forest Springs this year. And he calls me. It's 9:30 Wednesday night, and he says, "Dad, I was out skiing with a few friends. I had a little accident. I'm going over to the hospital with somebody, and they're going to check me out. It's going to be okay. Don't tell Mom." Of course, Sarah's right next to me, so I start asking a few clarifying questions, and Sarah hops on the phone with me. But what Isaac knew at the time, he shared that he would be okay. And so we hung up that night thinking, okay, he's going to get checked out, he's going to leave. And so I went to bed and I told him, you know, text us when you get checked out and when you know what's going on. Well, the next morning we get a phone call and he's in ICU. He has a laceration on his liver. He's lost, at the time, 60% of his kidney function. And Sarah and I tell him, "Isaac, we're coming home." And let me tell you guys, this was the longest 8-hour drive of my entire life. Sitting in a car, driving 8 hours as responsibly and as safely as I possibly could to get to my son. And then this past Monday, Isaac, he comes home. And the honest truth is, throughout this whole thing, there were so many miraculous evidences of God's care and protection for Isaac in so many ways, regardless of the outcome. And so we're grateful that he only lost one kidney and that his liver needs to heal and that he needs to take it easy for a few weeks. We're grateful that that's all that it was. He's recovering well. And so I just want to even say to you guys, because I know many of you have reached out, you've been praying, you've been caring for us. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being the body of Christ to us. You've blessed us richly by just being who God has called you to be. But why do I share this with you today? I share this with you today because I want you to know that we, as the Barnhart family, we've had moments in which we haven't always seen or known God's care in the moment. But listen, his care has always been there. His care has always been there. He's been with us. He's been present. He's been pouring out his endless supply of love upon us, sustaining us in every moment through the hard times and the good times. And he's done this as he's given us faith to trust him. Guys, I've had moments in my life when I've known the right answer is to go to God and trust him, but I've struggled to open my Bible because it's been that hard. And maybe you have too. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But let me tell you, and you guys probably know this, faith is tough, isn't it? Faith is tough. As I look out, I know of some of you in particular, of even your stories and what you're going through even today, this week, the hardship, the pain. God sees you. Faith is tough because it's believing in something that we haven't seen yet. But the hope is that even though we don't see it, God sees us. And so it's turning to God to trust. And so in the context of the Bible text we're going to look at today, faith is trusting God to care for us even when we don't yet see it. Faith is trusting God to care for us even when we don't yet see it. It's trusting his care even when we don't feel it in our lives. That's what it is. And that's what he's inviting us into today, is to come to him with faith. If you have a Bible, We're going to look at John chapter 4, starting in verse 46. If you don't have a Bible, you might find one under a chair nearby you. You can also follow along on the screens. John chapter 4, we'll start in verse 46 and go through verse 53. Here's what it says. "And so he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, 'Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe.' The official said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go, your son will live.' The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. And so he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him.' The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, 'Your son will live.' And he himself believed in all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee." Here's the main point of the text that I want you to see this morning. Because Jesus is God, come to Jesus with faith. Why do we come to Jesus with faith? Why don't we go to somebody else? Why don't we go to something else? It's because he's God. Because Jesus is God, come to Jesus with faith. Jesus here had already gathered his disciples to follow him. He'd done miracles. The text specifically mentions the miracle of turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana at Galilee. He'd been teaching hard and challenging truths with authority from heaven. Jesus is God in human flesh. He's man, yet he's God. Word is starting to spread. It's starting to get around that Jesus is someone who has the power, this unique power. He's got power to heal. Because Jesus has power to heal, because Jesus is God, come to Jesus with desperate faith. Come to him with desperate faith. Sometimes we need that, right? We need to come to Jesus with desperate faith. A Roman official had a son who was ill. He had heard about Jesus, and maybe he had seen Jesus. He knew that Jesus, he could heal people. And so when he heard that Jesus, he was in the area, he found a glimmer of hope, and he went to Jesus, and he asked him to come down and to heal his son. I want you to notice a couple things about what the text says. It says that this Roman official came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. He didn't sit back and stew. He didn't sit in his house and just complain to his friends. He didn't say, "Well, if Jesus is all this powerful, well, he'll just come to me." He came to Jesus. And the second thing I want you to see is he's desperate. He's desperate. His son, the text says, was at the point of death. This wasn't a little thing, guys. And I'm sure this Roman official and his family, they've been scrambling. Their hearts have been aching. And so this Roman official comes to Jesus with desperate faith. He comes to Jesus with desperate faith, and he asks Jesus to heal his son. I think this is really important for us to see. Because when life hits the hardest, When something uncertain happens, something unexpected happens, something confusing happens, something horrific happens, Jesus invites us to stop and to turn and to ask Jesus for faith. Out of our desperation, come to Jesus with desperate faith. Now, when I say desperate, I don't mean turn to Jesus as a last resort. Like, you've tried everything else. I'm going to do everything else I can do on my own to figure this out, and then I'm going to go to Jesus as a last resort. That's not what I mean. Rather, turn to him with the hardest things, the absolute hardest things of your life. And do it because he's worthy of your trust. He'll care for you. He'll hold you. He'll minister to your heart. He'll be the peace that you need in the moment because he's God. And so whatever you're going through today, whatever you will be going through in the future, because we're living in a broken world of suffering and hardship, turn to him. Collapse into his arms because he cares for you. Even when you don't know it, even when you don't see it with your eyes, even though you may not feel it, even if on a particular day you can't even open your Bible, just collapse in the arms of Jesus Christ, knowing that he cares for you. I want to invite you to pick up our story here in verse 48. Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And so, because he's God, come to Jesus with believing faith. Here in this story, we see this Roman official, he had believing faith. I want to share with you a couple of stories about believing faith, and then I want to try to carve out what I mean by believing faith. It might be a little confusing. And so story number one, some of you may know a couple in our church named Bob and Janelle Bennett. Bob and Janelle Bennett. They became FBC members a short while back. Well, some of you might know this past Christmas Eve, Janelle, she was in the hospital. She had been sick. She wasn't doing well. It was bad. I remember after one of the services on Christmas Eve, I'm back there and I see Bob. He's walking toward me with tears in his eyes. And he explains to me that Janelle's in the hospital, and he said, I'm not sure if she's going to make it. And I listen to Bob, and I pray with Bob. I pray for Janelle that God's will would be done, that she would be healed. I pray for Bob that he'd trust God with his wife, whatever God decides to do. Well, later that evening, I go home, and I'm at home with my family, and Sarah and I are in a room. We're wrapping Christmas gifts, and Bob calls. And he's on the other line, and he says, "Mike, I don't have words for what just happened, but Janelle is better. She's communicating, she's walking, God healed her." And he told me that when you, Sarah, and I prayed, that was about the same exact time that Janelle started responding and feeling better. I found out later that several of you had been praying for Bob and Janelle as well, even that night. And so, friends, Bob, he stopped, he turned, and he asked Jesus for faith. And in this case, God responded by healing Janelle in this life. I'm praising God for that miracle, that work of God in her life. And so whatever you may be facing in your life, stop and turn and ask Jesus for faith. Ask him for believing faith. But listen, this is really important. Believing faith is not contingent upon the result or the response that you receive. In other words, believing faith doesn't necessarily mean that someone will be healed in this life. Nor does the result indicate whether or not you have believing faith. Story number two that I want to share with you is actually a video clip. It's from a movie series that some of you might be familiar with called The Chosen. If you're not familiar with The Chosen, it's a movie series that's for entertainment. I just want to be clear, it's not scripture, it's not the Bible. They use stories from the Bible and they've added dramatic elements to them so that we could get a picture of what it might have been for Christ to walk this earth here in this world. And so this video, it's a few minutes long, but it's an illustration that will display, I believe, the heart of Christ for us in our pain. So watch this.
Master.
Little James.
May I have a moment?
Of course.
Forgive me, I'm not always confident to speak.
Slow to speak, it's a very good quality.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Please?
So you're sending us out with the ability to heal the sick and lame. Yes, that is what you said.
Yes.
So you're telling me that I have the ability to heal. Forgive me, I just find that difficult to imagine with my condition, which you haven't healed.
Do you want to be healed?
Yes, of course, if that's possible.
I think you've seen enough to know it's possible.
Why haven't you?
Because I trust you.
What?
Little James. Precious little James. I need you to listen to me very carefully. Because what I'm going to say defines your whole life to this point, and will define the rest of your life. Do you understand? In the Father's will, I could heal you right now. And you'd have a good story to tell, yes?
Yes, that you do miracles.
And that's a good story. But there are already dozens who can tell that story. And there will be hundreds more, even thousands. But think of the story that you have, especially in this journey to come, if I don't heal you. To know how to proclaim that you still praise God in spite of this. To know how to focus on all that matters, so much more than the body. To show people that you can be patient with your suffering here on earth because you know you'll spend eternity with no suffering. Not everyone can understand that. How many people do you think the Father and I trust this with? Not many.
But the others, there's so much more.
So much more what?
I don't know. Stronger? Better at this?
James, I love you, but I don't want to hear that ever again.
I know how easy it is to say the Song of David, that I've fearfully and wonderfully made, but it doesn't make this any easier. And in this group, it doesn't make me feel like any less of a burden.
A burden? First of all, it is far easier to deal with your slow walking than it is to deal with Simon's temper.
Trust me.
Are you fast? Do you look impressive when you walk? Maybe not. But these are things the Father doesn't care about. You are going to do more for me than most people ever dream. So many people need healing in order to believe in me. or they need healing because their hearts are so sick. That doesn't apply to you. And many are healed or not healed because the Father in heaven has a plan for them, which may be a mystery. And we remember what Job said. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you pass from this earth, and you meet your Father in heaven, where Isaiah promises you will leap like a deer, your reward will be great. So hold on a little longer. And when you discover yourself finding true strength because of your weakness, and when you do great things in my name, in spite of this, the impact will last for generations. Do you understand?
Yes. Thank you, Master.
A man like you, healing others. Oh, what a sight. I can't wait to hear your stories when you return.
Shalom, my son.
Shalom.
And James.
Remember, you will be healed. It's only a matter of time.
Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Believing faith. Coming to Jesus because he's God. It's coming to Jesus because he's God and because he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. If you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. God loves you. He loves you. What does he think of you? He loves you. And so he invites you, Jesus Christ, to collapse into his sturdy and safe and comforting arms when you don't have strength to do anything else. It's trusting that he'll care for you when you don't see it with your eyes, when you can't think it in your mind and it doesn't make sense, it's disoriented, when you don't feel it. The reality is it's also submitting to God and know that he cares. And it comes in different ways. That God may desire to care for you just as you've requested it of him. That God may desire to care for you in a way that you haven't thought of yet. It's beyond what you could imagine. That God may desire to care for you in a way that you won't understand for a very long time. Maybe ever. And so no matter what you're facing, Jesus invites you today to come to him with believing faith because Jesus is God. Guys, the final idea I want to show you from the text this morning is because he's God, come to Jesus with remembering faith. Look back at verse 51. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. I love this. This Roman official goes down, his servant meets him and informs him that his son is recovering, and he comes to find out it was the exact same time that Jesus said, "Your son will live." At that exact same moment, this Roman official's son was healed. And so as we seek to be people who have faith in God, it's important for us too to remember Jesus' words. That we, every day, moment by moment throughout our lives, we recall his faithfulness and his steadfast love. To go to God and ask the Lord, "What do you think of me?" And he's just going to keep saying, "I love you. I love you. I love you." And his love will continue to be poured out upon you. And so stop and turn and ask Jesus for faith. It's not so much about the result or the response that you get, but it's about the faith that you have in Christ that you would go to him. One of the most significant ways the Bible actually points us to remembering faith is God's idea of lament. Lament, if you're not familiar with that term, it's a biblical term that means mourning or grieving in such a way that you take your complaints to God. God wants to hear your complaints. And so biblical lament involves four key stages. We'll put these on the screen. To turn to God, complain to God, look to God, and to trust God. You may encounter these things at the same time. They may go in a progression and an order. You might be in one of these stages for a long period of time and then another one in a short period of time. But I want you to notice that all four of these statements are directed to God. And so the key is that you and I, we don't stay in one of these stages forever, but God actually leads us over time. Now, we can find a lot of examples of lament all over Scripture. The book of Psalms is a great place to find lament. And one very clear example of lament is found in Psalm 13. And I know I've shared this with you before, but I love how this psalm is clear about this process of lament. Let me read it to you, Psalm 13. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" And so here we see David, he's addressing God. He's crying out to God. He turns to the Lord. And we also see him here bringing his complaint to the Lord in his words, "How long, O Lord?" We won't get into all of the language today, but when he says, "Will you forget me forever?" He's talking about, "God, I feel forsaken by you." And so he brings his complaint to the Lord. And then in verse 3, it says, "Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." And so in these verses, David, he looks to God. He tells God his fears and his worries. He tells God what he's afraid of at the core of his heart. But the key is he sees God as the one who can actually do something about it. And so he says, "Consider me and answer me, O Lord my God." And then finally in verses 5 and 6 we see, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." And so here we see David, he's exhibiting trust in God. Why? The text tells us he trusts God because he remembers God's steadfast love for him. That God's steadfast love endures forever. He trusts God because he remembers that God has dealt bountifully with him in the past. He looks back on his life and he sees the faithfulness of God. Guys, this is what it means to have remembering faith. And so we turn to Christ, we bring our complaints to Christ, we look to Christ, and we trust Christ. Why? How? Because he's God, and because he loves us. He's God and he loves us. God loves you. And so in the midst of your pain, in the midst of whatever you're going through in life, whether you see it, know it, or feel it right now or not, God is sustaining you in his care. Jesus said to the Roman official, "Go and your son will live." Those are words of hope that Jesus offers to each one of us today. And so whether you're healed of the disease or not, whether or not you find the job, whether or not your spouse comes back to you, whether or not your child is made well, the fact is God loves you. These words that Jesus spoke to this Roman official were specifically for him in that moment of time. But I believe in a way that they're actually for you and for me as well, as they draw us into faith. They're words that not only point us to the momentary healing of this Roman official's son, but they point you and me to eternity in Jesus Christ. Go, and your son will live. Means, trust me. It's an invitation to trust Christ. It's an invitation because his arms are wide open and he's inviting you to collapse into his sturdy, caring arms. Jesus is saying, trust me. Don't trust me for what you want or what you think you need. Trust me with your life. Trust me with your pain and your disappointment. Trust me with your failures. Trust me with your future. Trust me that I'll care for you, even when I care for you in ways that you don't understand. Jesus says, trust me and you will live. Friends, sometimes you may be desperate. You may be believing. You may be remembering. Come to Jesus with faith. Come to him with faith because he's God and because he loves you. Let's pray together. Father, today we acknowledge that sometimes it's hard to make sense of this world and the things that happen in it. Sometimes it's hard to understand or to be certain. And so God, although we may have blurry vision, feel doubt, be disoriented, you invite us to trust you. And so Jesus, as you said to the Roman official, let us hear your invitation of life to us. May we know that you are our source of true and lasting life. No matter what hardships we face in this world, may we know that you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We invite you to stand if you're able to close in song with us.